Good morning, everyone. Today is a doozy, that is for sure. It's going to be a hot one, and it is a quick, short, explosive, fast workout. Definitely going to be a burner. Anytime we see dumbbell squat cleans, we know it's going to sting. So I'm actually not going to talk to you guys about the workout. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about programming methodology and where I come from with that. So the first thing to say is that this, you know, I'm halfway through Dave Castro's book of Constructing the Games, and the light bulb went off for me that I've never really taken the time to talk to you all about where I stand in terms of prescription, my methodologies and philosophies within exercise science and CrossFit, and then how those, you know, how the paintbrush meets the canvas when it comes to programming for the gym. So the first thing to note here is that I have two avenues, you know, that I take that are derivative of my different backgrounds in exercise science. One being much more in the traditional sense. I was a strength and conditioning coach for years before I got into CrossFit. I was also introduced into strength and conditioning as an athlete all through high school, in much more of the traditional sense. So I definitely have an appreciation and a respect for that, and utilize some of those methodologies in our programming as well. And then in the CrossFit sense, I wholeheartedly believe in their philosophies and methodologies, being the, you know, constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensities, and will always utilize and primarily use the CrossFit methodologies as part of our programming. That's never going anywhere. So there's a lot of things that go into that I take into account when we talk about programming. So the first thing that happens is I always try to look at the year in its totality. And I have different checklists. So I have a checklist that basically I look at to determine if I have been using all of the movements equally, or at least in somewhat of a balance. I do the same thing in terms of time durations and stimuluses. So workouts that are short and fast and explosive, workouts that are longer and more aerobic, workouts that are longer but also involve heavy weightlifting, shorter workouts that involve just gymnastics, shorter workouts that involve weightlifting and monostructural movement, right? So you can play this game and take a look at it objectively in every variation possible. And I try to make sure that we cover as many bases as possible, both in modalities or movements, and also stimulus, because this is ultimately the heart of what CrossFit is, right? It's preparing us for the unknown and unknowable, and to do that, you need to expose weaknesses, and you do that by providing that constant variation. So I do truly believe in this as a foundation for our methodology, and use kind of a checks and balance system to make sure that I'm not becoming biased in one area or another. I think that it's inevitable to have some degree of bias in your programming, but I do have checks and balances to make sure that it doesn't sway, you know, the needle doesn't move to one side or the other too drastically. So that's the first thing, right? Is making sure that there's balance in the programming. The second thing is that on more of a micro cycle, being the day to day, week to week, I make sure that there's balance within the week. So, you know, it's important that while not everyone shows up every day, I have to pretend that people are. So I can't write for the person that shows up 2 to 3 times a week, because A, I don't know when they're going to show up in those 2 to 3 days, and B, I don't know if they're going to stack them back to back, or what days they're going to show up to and what days they're not. So I can't write for that person, because that person doesn't exist in consistency, and everyone is going to be inconsistent in their own regard. So I write as if people show up every single day. And in that, I really try to create balance in our ability to tackle every single energy system, right? So we have phosphagen creatine, which is much more fast, explosive, something that's maximal effort in a very, very short time duration. This would be something like a 100-meter sprint or a 3-rep max deadlift. We also tackle the anaerobic glycolytic pathway, which is where I would say the majority of CrossFit workouts that are underneath, we'll say 10 minutes kind of fall. And then there's aerobic, which is generally going to be things that are 20 minutes and longer. All three energy systems blend together. So if you're in a 10-minute workout, you're obviously breathing heavy. Your aerobic system is working, but it is not by any means the primary system that is being utilized. So I try to tax the systems equally to make sure that you all are well-rounded and also that you aren't overtaxing one more so than another. So there's, you know, there's a reason why you'll very, very rarely ever see two heavy days back to back or two really long days back to back. So I try to create as much balance as possible. The next thing would be I try to take a look at our gym as a whole and see what it is that we lack at the most. There are some things that are difficult in this. So for example, things like ring muscle ups. I have kind of a mental tug of war that goes on with this because let me give you an example. If I write a workout that's 15, 12, 9 ring muscle ups and power cleans at 185, that's supposed to be a short, fast, explosive workout if I go with CrossFit's guidelines, which is to program for the elite regional athlete. That workout would probably take Chris somewhere in about 7 to 8 minutes at most. And the reality is that I would either need to modify the ring muscle up so much so that there would be no point in putting it in for the majority of people that go to our classes. Example would be like dropping to doing pull-ups or ring rows in order to maintain stimulus. Or I just make it into a muscle-up skill day, and then in that case, I might as well have not had the WOD, and I should have just had a skill day with ring muscle-ups, right? So this is kind of the tug-of-war I deal with when working with these movements. Not every gym operates this way. Some gyms, you know, love to have athletes swing around on the rings, you know, with a band attached to them. I just don't find value in that, and I think that it's a formula for injury. But again, that's the strength and conditioning, you know, traditional side of things kind of coming out in me. And, you know, each gym kind of vibes and has a different feel to it. And for us, that's one thing that I interject from my experience in strength and conditioning, that I think, I'm at least very weary of. So, that's one thing to note that I would say is unique for us, is the way that we approach higher skill gymnastics. I believe in building a foundation first in both in strength and kinesthetic awareness before you start flopping around on the rings. And because of this, we have a very low injury rate. It's not very often that someone hurts themselves in our gym, and I pride myself on that. I have to take into consideration the logistics of both the equipment that we have and also the floor space. I will say that we're probably in the 90th percentile as far as the equipment that we have and the floor space that we have. You know, there are gyms out there that are significantly smaller with significantly less and need to make it work. Now, will this improve and do I want it to improve? Well, hell yeah. I mean, I would love to be in a 20,000 square foot facility with every piece of equipment known to man. And you know, over time, that's the end goal, but we obviously make do with what we have and we can, you know, you guys see the programming. There's a lot of different things that we can do. And I try to be my best at being creative, to keep it, you know, fresh and exciting for you guys. And then, I mean, on top of, so I make sure there's balance within the energy systems. I make sure there's balance within the movements themselves. And then the last thing is I try to keep it exciting, you know, and I think this is something that, you know, you have to be careful of because while we are here to prepare you guys for the unknown and unknowable, I also want you to be excited to show up here. And if I'm constantly plugging in workouts that are just hell on earth and, you know, don't necessarily come with, you know, at least a small helping or side of fun, it becomes very draining and monotonous after a while. So I try to mix it up and think about, you know, what's the best way to create challenges that also provide a willingness to want to show up. One thing that you're going to start seeing a lot more of, and this has been kind of a common theme as of recent, is this interjection of active recovery days where we switch our focus up a little bit. Because I am programming for the athlete or the member that shows up here every single day, I have to take into account that even though you guys are only working out for an hour, the intensity can get rather high, and the volume on some days for that matter. So when we have an opportunity to take a step back and sharpen the saw, if you will, I really like to do that. And I do that through things like doing flow work, doing technique work with a specific movement without taking the intensity way up. And we really try to change it up to make sure that, you know, you guys are developing better kinesthetic awareness, better body control, better understanding of how to activate properly. You know, we are exposing immobilities and problems within, you know, within your mobility, and giving you tools to then, you know, further progress in that area. So I think these days are kind of imperative in the larger scheme of things, because what they do is they still force you guys to sweat and move and feel like you worked out, but in a much lower intensity sense, and give you an opportunity to go back and better yourself as an athlete without needing the longer recovery that you would need after some of our days. I will also say that at least twice a month, I try to crush your soul. So, you know, I take a look at workouts over the course of every 2 weeks, and I like personally need to see at least one where I'm like, this one is going to mentally and physically test everyone more so than they've been in a while. You know, and I know some of you, especially when you're new, you feel like this is every single day, but once you get into this and you've been here for a little while, the workouts become much more mentally manageable. But even for those that are just like mental beasts, have been here for years, are used to the movements, know what everything's called, like have comfortability in almost every movement that we have, even the ones they're weak at, they've managed to be able to get by on. I want them to come to me after class once every, you know, 2 weeks or so and say, that one stole my soul. And this isn't like me sitting in the back being like, haha, I love when everyone's in pain. It's more of me sending a little humble message your guys' way as a reminder that you need to stay humble and there's always things we can work on, and that you can always push yourself harder than you think you can. So that's definitely something that I keep in mind. I try not to overwhelm you guys with that. And if you notice on a personal level, I try to do a really good job of making sure that newer people aren't feeling like that every single day they leave here. I know sometimes they get frustrated when I'm like, just do a 100-meter run today for the workout versus a 4. But the reality is I know that yesterday the workout demolished them, and I don't want them leaving with that feeling every single time they're in here. You know, and sorry, Doc's trying to get in the gym. Yeah, I mean, I try to make sure that there's a balance between how you guys feel when you leave here. You know, like, did you feel completely crushed muscularly? Did your central nervous system feel fried? Did you feel like you sweat today, but you were able to leave and, you know, go on the rest of your day as if, you know, you just went for a light jog? You know, and fluctuating that keeps you guys coming back, you know, and it keeps you guys hungry to want to show up here regardless of the stimulus, knowing that I have your health and your fitness in mind in much more of a broader sense than just, you know, on a daily basis of get in here, I want to crush you, and then send you home. So this covers quite a few bases. I could talk for another hour and a half about programming, but I think this is a good starting point for you guys, especially those of you that are either newer or haven't really ever asked me about what goes on behind the scenes with programming. I will tell you that between the athletes, my individual programming, the barbell club, and then CrossFit, I probably spend about 4 to 5 hours programming a week. I try to, you know, put myself somewhere in solitude and, you know, listen to some chill music and really, really dive into this. Programming is not something I do where I'm like, you know, people are distracting me and or I'm like distracting myself. Like, I put my phone down. Sometimes I shut it off. I'll put some music on and just like sit in a dark room with my computer and just focus on programming. So a lot of thought does go into it. Do I make mistakes? Hell yeah. I mean, we all do in life, but, I try to learn from them. I make notes and then, you know, just move forward from there. But I think all in all, we do a pretty good job, you know, programming for the gym and making sure that you guys are balanced athletes and healthy people and having fun. If you have any questions, shoot them my way. I'd be happy to answer them. I'm sure I'll tackle more programming talks later, you know, in the podcast, but I figured this would be an appropriate one for now. Enjoy the workout today. It's a rough one.